Why are we doing this? The purpose for Uncommon Family is simple, that we might fight for the unity we have in Christ. Remember Philippians 2, it says that, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. That's really the heart of this effort. It seems that one of the great callings of our Lord Jesus as his followers is to labor for the unity of the church, and to do so with a humility that has others in mind and honors them. You know as well as I do, there are huge fractures in American society. But we can't let those fractures continue to divide the church. I want you to think about this. It doesn't take much time to recount church history where the family of Jesus would kill each other over national or ethnic, political or racial tensions. It would be folly to assume the church in the U.S. is somehow immune to this kind of tragedy. Don't hear me wrong. I don't believe that our Winston-Salem churches are about to take arms against one another or the Redeemerites are going to do the same. But when I tune into certain social media, I'm reminded of just how toxic and cruel Christians can be to each other and our neighbors, the very people we're called to serve and to love. So if I'm reading our culture rightly, we are being malformed toward discord and division. My hope and prayer is that this ongoing conversation will help us resist the spirit of our age, to provide an opportunity for us to wrestle with truth and experience, and to be eager to listen and to love across divides, and to reimagine the beauty of the unity of the church that Jesus prays for, like our Lord Jesus prayed for in John 17, that we would be united. So it's simple. We want to work the transforming grace of Jesus further into the soil of our lives so that we might have a more biblically shaped and grace-saturated harvest that would grow from it amid issues of race and culture and ethnicity. The surprising thing, though, is that as we survey the topics or these topics in Scripture, they begin to emerge as one of its central themes. So we're not just doing this because the nation is in an uproar with ethnic tension and reeling from racial division, but because the Scriptures put it forth as the healing of the nations as and the breaking down of ethnic and civic hostility as part of the warp and woof of salvation, the very vocabulary of God's redemption. Ephesians tells us that Jesus came to reconcile us to the Father and to one another, to tear down the dividing walls of hostility that so easily separate us. John depicts a revelation of God's finale, right? A new humanity from every tongue and tribe and nation and worshiping the Trinity. The church's ethnic reconciliation is not a side agenda. It's not a social experience. It's certainly not justice du jour. It is the very consummation of God's salvific work in the world. The triumph over sin and death manifests not just, and there's no just about it, but the glorious forgiveness of our sin, but also the healing of racial, cultural, and ethnic tensions. That means the dividing wall of hostilities that are between us and our brothers and sisters in this very city. And the dividing wall is actually way too much tied to this dividing road of Highway 52. So that's why we're doing this. We're practicing and preparing to worship together for eternity. We are leaning into what our Lord promises to make us one new people, and we're living out what is already true about us, that in Him we are one body. Let me end with an encouragement. This season of this learning community isn't going to change a whole lot. It's simply an opportunity to continue to be transformed by God's grace into faithful servants of all. This is no silver bullet that will solve racial tension in our city or church. That, my friends, happens over time through 1,000 conversations and the generous mercy and power of the Holy Spirit. And this is why this is also an encouragement. Because we don't solve our own problems as Christians. We have a Lord who does, who sanctifies us. What we can do is participate and listen and learn and challenge and confess. Thank you for listening to the first podcast.